Welcome to Google Ads Unleashed, the podcast that helps you harness the power of Google Ads to increase sales for your online business. In an ever-changing Google Ads landscape, we uncover the latest strategies, techniques, and best practices for creating effective ad campaigns that deliver real results. And now your host, Jeremy Young.
And hello, guys, and welcome back to Google Ads Unleashed. Hope everyone is doing well. I'm certainly doing well, well-rested after a bit of a holiday. And I am super, super excited to have another guest today. The last guest podcast done really well, and you guys like these sort of formats. And today, I think I have one of the most interesting guests on that we've had in a long time, just because with what he's done with his company and with the technology that he's developed, I think it's quite cutting edge and this doesn't happen very often that in such a limited cosmos such as Google Ads, where there's just so many buttons, so many things, someone comes up with a completely brilliant new idea. And that's what Profit Metrics has done. And I've got Frederick on today, and maybe you can say a little bit about yourself, Frederick.
Thank you for that intro. I appreciate it. Yeah, my name is Frederik. I'm the CEO and founder of Profit Metrics. I'm from Copenhagen, Denmark. We are a Danish company, but remote first, so we have people all over the world. I've been working in e-commerce for the last 17 years. So I come from a background where I had my own e-commerce businesses, building them up, selling them. And that was essentially my last e-commerce business. I realized that my margins were changing a lot. I was scaling extremely hard, thought that my target ROAS were perfectly set, finding out that suddenly I didn't make as much profit as before, and it was actually worse than I thought. So my big problem was I couldn't see what ad spend were profitable, what weren't, now that I actually knew that I was unprofitable in the business. So I had to turn that ad spend down. So suddenly I got a big cash flow problem because it was a really, really, really large ad spend. Suddenly the sales didn't come in. And it actually went so bad that I went bankrupt with that company. I couldn't save it. Found an investor where we started up and paid out all the creditors. And this were where we're starting looking at what are we actually doing in e-commerce. Why are we using revenue? ROAS is not wrong, but it's not return on ad spend we use in e-commerce. We use revenue on ad spend, and what we're doing is we're taking an average margin on that revenue to figure out what kind of profit we have. And it's just so rare that an e-commerce business have the same margin on all revenue coming in. So I was just looking for a tool. Why don't we actually base our bidding on the real profit? So we are like comparing apples to apples. So profit up against ad spend, that's really easy to compare. Wasn't anything out there. And what happened with my story and my business was that I realized too late how unprofitable I suddenly became, because I had been very profitable, but suddenly something changed. I sold less profitable products where I was maybe doing marketing on high margin products, but people ended up buying low margin products that gave a lot of revenue, but not as profitable. And I scaled that up. So I was looking for a tool where I could click on a button and see what profit did I make the last week after ad spend and after fixed cost. Can I scale further? No, there wasn't anything out there. So I had to build something for my own business, and that's just changed my business. I turned around that business where I could suddenly see, okay, these ads, I'm super profitable. And actually based on the real order profit, so not just the product that I was doing, the marketing that people clicked in on, but I could actually see the profitability, so I could scale everything that were profitable and close down everything that was unprofitable. So that became a profitable business, and I thought, this is something that other needs in the market, because maybe they haven't went through a bankruptcy, a terrible time like I did, but almost all e-commerce business and marketers have tried that to get that P&L back from the accountant, where they thought it was doing better than it actually did, or the opposite. They could actually have increased ad spend because there was opportunities where they was much more profitable, but they didn't act on those. So I sold that company after it became profitable, made a good exit, and then I invested that money into building a a product, and that's like 5 years ago. And now we are working with thousands of e-commerce businesses and agencies around the world, helping them to optimize.
Fortunately or unfortunately, a lot of e-commerce businesses have made that made that error, right? I see it over and over again, just lack of data. They don't know their own data. We oftentimes as agencies actually come in and help them figure that sort of stuff out, because it's obviously massively important. So, okay, so basically you realized that bidding on sort of ROAS is pointless. I think a lot of businesses have realized that in a larger scale as well by optimizing towards, for instance, on MER or on sort of new customer return on ad spend or other sort of profit metrics, if you like. But sort of how does the process then look in terms of optimizing towards the actual revenue or the actual profit of each order? What does that look like? How does an e-commerce business who wants to like explore this, because it sounds really exciting, but how does it work?
Yeah. Like, so let's take a Shopify as an example. Mm-hmm. So most businesses have started adding the cost of goods inside Shopify. If not, it's super easy. You can also add them inside profit metrics, but essentially you install the app. What we do is we are a server-side tracking tool. So we are a tracking tool, first of all, where we collect all the track data, the click IDs for, now we're talking especially Google, but we also do it for Meta and GA4. But if we're talking Google, we collect all the Google click ID, the GBraids, all the track data we essentially can. We store that server-side. And then when an order goes in, it has been paid or authorized, it goes to profit metrics. And we have already there, we have pulled in the cost prices from the products. Within profit metrics, you can then set your shipping costs. So private delivery is more expensive than a pickup point. A heavy order is more expensive than a light order in the weight and so on. You add those costs, PayPal, extremely expensive, Klarna versus a credit card or bank transfer. So you add those costs inside profit metrics. So when we get that order in from the API, we can then calculate the real profit on the order. And then through the servers, we can send it back into Google Ads, GA4, Meta. So it gets attributed just like a similar order. We also do that on revenue because we have this special server-side tracking we call Conversion Booster, where we track an average of 17% more conversions than existing setups. So you get that both with revenue and profit. And then you can actually see on a keyword, product, campaign basis, you can see what is my gross profit, what is our profitability on these ads or ad groups. So you can essentially scale up the profitable ones. You can even get the algorithm to use the profit in, so you set our conversion action, we create a new conversion action. So you set that to primary, and then your existing one that is probably revenue, you set that to secondary. And from that time going forward, you're actually asking Google in the target ROAS. So instead of asking 500%, you maybe ask for 150%, meaning that if you put in £1, you get £1.5 back in profit. This is what we call POAS, profit on ad spend, to separate it away from the ROAS, which essentially is the same return on ad spend. Return should have been profit, but in e-commerce, it's revenue. So instead of using that revenue on ad spend, we use profit on ad spend. But this way, you're actually asking the algorithm to come back with 1.5 back in profit every time you use £1.
So, how accurate is that? Like in terms of, because obviously there'll always be certain variables in terms of, I suppose it's as accurate as you do it in the setup
what you have available. I always say that there is this way of thinking that if you go to profit, you have to be 100% exact. Of course, that's always the end goal, to get as close to that as possible. But if you're thinking of where the market is and where I was with an e-commerce business, I was using one average on all revenue. Then there is some businesses that have moved to something like product margin grouping, where they maybe group up the products in three different buckets. So they have low margin, mid margin, high margin, and then they set target ROAS accordingly to that. That is also a little bit better than just using one average. The problem is just people don't always buy the product you click in on. Some buy AirPods, some buy also AirPods and accessories, some buy a whole other headset. So you have to look at the order. So we believe that if you can, let's say you didn't have any cost prices and you added just 10, 15% of your most sold products, you added the cost prices to those, that's often 80% of the sales. So if you just had that and you then added the shipping cost on different shipping methods and the payment fees, you have to different payment providers, then you could easily get to 80% or 85% accuracy. And just moving away from one average to that, that's where you can essentially start taking away the good from the bad and scale the good and increase. Yeah. So it's like steps of how accurate you actually want it to be, but you can actually get started very, very fast, even if you don't have the data today. You always have the cost data somewhere, of course.
Yeah, of course. It's actually mad to think, because in the end, conversion value is not like, it's just a number, right? So you can teach Google essentially anything you want it to teach and just optimize towards that.
Yeah. Yeah, the same thing goes for lifetime values. People are also talking about adding lifetime, predicted lifetime value, something we are also looking into. But again, that should also be profit.
Looking into that
yeah,
as well.
Yeah, we are looking into that as well, because if you are selling fashion, maybe you have a clothing retailer. There is some customers that look amazing on a lifetime revenue, but if they are returning half of the products, maybe they are really bad customer, where somebody may be only buying one or two times a year full price, not returning anything. They could actually be much better. So again, looking at the profitability as well. But as you say, yeah, conversion value is essentially just getting the algorithm to steer towards what you actually want or what means something for your business.
That's amazing. I really like the idea of that, because that's something I would have. So one of the questions would have been applicability, in terms of, because we have some clients, right, who just have one product, right? And we know pretty much that they just have like kind of that order. It's not bought twice, though. There's not really. So ROAS is actually not so bad, if you like, you know, as in. Then it's quite okay, or even MER. Whereas we have some partners we work with, and of course there'd be many listeners who have probably either clients or who are e-commerce businesses with thousands of SKUs. So I would imagine this is probably a little bit more geared towards those thousands of SKUs kind of shops, because that's where it starts to get really, really tricky for us, of course, as advertisers to figure out how to advance.
Yeah, definitely. It's the more variation you have in your margins on the products, and if you have orders where people actually buy different products in the order, then of course the more valuable and the more you need a tool like Profit Metrics. I normally say if you have one product or two products where you always have the same margin, then a ROAS is just as great, because you actually know what margin you have. Then ROAS is a perfect KPI. When you start doing bundling, or you start doing like quantity discounts or giving free shipping and so on, then you start getting that, then you lose the transparency in what you actually make in profit. And that's where it starts being valuable, I would say, the profit part of it.
Yeah. What kind of shops do you guys look after? Is it exclusively Shopify, or can you onboard Magento? Can you onboard anything? Yeah. Custom builds?
We have not yet had a customer we couldn't integrate to. We have, I think it's 14 native platforms like the Magento, WooCommerce, Shopify, PrestaShop, Shopware, BigCommerce. But we are built universal first. So we have an easy way to set up a client-side integration through DTM, if it's a custom solution we don't have it on, or we have a really good documentation of setting up server side, where we essentially just imagine a Zapier where you send in the order to our API, then we have 100%, then we take care of all the tracking. So we have not had a case where we couldn't integrate to. So we can be set up. But of course, it's a matter of time. It's faster on a WooCommerce or Magento and Shopify if we have a native module. Rather than a custom solution that we built.
make sense, of course. Because I'm actually in my head, I've been thinking for weeks now, but I wanted to sort of wait, of course, until our podcast today to kind of pitch it to a couple of our partners, especially as profit is more important than ever. I think now this year, especially in e-commerce, that's the trend, right? Profit first. Mega interesting. Process of onboarding, how does that work? Do clients have to kind of, or customers have to kind of figure it out themselves? Is it a guided process? Do you have a team who does that? How does that look?
Yeah, normally what we do is the client goes into our page or the agency goes into ProfitMetrics.io, book a demo. Then we give a demo and we talk about what store are they on and how would the process look. But normally that's like 30 minutes, 20 to 30 minutes. And then we set up an onboarding, maybe within days if the client have time for it. Then if it was, for example, WooCommerce, we would, prior to the onboarding, send the module because that was something that a developer would normally install. Where if it's a WooCommerce or Shopify, then the client can just do it themselves. And then we send a list of, hey, you need to have your shipping cost, average shipping cost, your average margin, and so on. If you have your cost prices, great. Otherwise, we can tell you how to get them in. Normally, we will just pull them directly from the platform. We can also take them from a CSV file or a feed, XML feed. And then essentially, we just go through and click on the button, fill out the, you know, say connect to Google here, input the shipping cost here, and we take the client through the whole process. And that takes somewhere between half an hour to an hour, depending on how many websites they have, how large the setup is. And then there is maybe a couple of mails back and forth, and then they are essentially set up. So it's a super, super fast process. And we guide them through everything. They can do it themselves if they would rather do that. It's you can set up yourself, but we just provide that service because we just see that why use time on figuring things out yourself.
Yeah, makes sense. Once you've implemented that conversion action, very likely you'll probably start having it on secondary, and then you kind of say, okay, now is the time to switch. What's sort of your recommendation in that?
Yeah, it always depends on the volume, as with everything. Google's algorithm needs a certain amount of conversions to actually work. We normally say let it run and gather data for a secondary, of course, for 3 to 4 weeks or something like that, depending on the store. If it's really large, you can start before. And if it's smaller, maybe you wait a little bit longer. But one thing is also, as we call it, POAS bidding. One thing is to actually have it activated in the algorithms. But as soon as you have that data and we make the custom columns, so you have the gross profit, the net profit, the POAS inside Google, as soon as you see that, normally what happens within 2-3 weeks, you start already seeing, okay, this is actually not as profitable as we thought. And then you start decreasing that. And then you see over here, we actually have something that is much better than we thought. We don't need this high target ROAS of 6. We could actually, we don't need a ROAS higher than 4, and we are still profitable. So as soon as you start seeing those things, you start act on them. And in my opinion, already there you have started. You also, what we often see is the whole organization and the business starts looking at the business differently. They start looking at inside profit metrics. You can see every single order, how the profit is calculated. So suddenly they see, okay, this free shipping doesn't really make sense. We are actually losing on these orders, or okay, we are paying so much in payment fees or shipping costs we have not negotiated in two years. So also there starts this process of actually looking at the business holistically. In the dashboard, you can see your total business profit before ad spend and after ad spend, which we call the contribution margin, and then after fixed costs, so your net profit. So it starts this process. It's not only in the Google, it's not only in the Meta, it's also just the organization starts working together. And just we see that align the marketers and the business, that business strategy and marketing strategy just aligns. And it just gives the marketers so much more insight and transparency, because all marketers have tried this where they have like hit the target ROAS, they have increased revenue, they have increased the spend, everything looks good. And the client comes back and say, this is super great, but we actually didn't make a profit the last quarter. And that's not the marketer's fault, but because they didn't have the insight. Maybe the customer discounted a lot, or maybe they didn't increase the prices once they got really big price increase in the cost price of the shipping home from their suppliers. And that part just aligns everyone. So you can actually click on a button and see how much profit did we make the last 2 weeks or yesterday in profit after ad spend, after fixed cost. So you can also go into deeper discussions of saying, we shouldn't sell this, or should we? Is there a reason why we are selling this that is actually unprofitable? And hey, we're actually making a lot more profit than we thought. We're actually losing out because there's more volume to get in Google. We should actually increase the spend here. And maybe we go a little bit down in profitability in the POAS, but overall we will get much more contribution margin to essentially cover the fixed cost and more bottom line. So it just becomes something where the whole organization together with marketing are working instead of in silos. It's they're working together.
That's amazing. You've sort of kind of already touched upon it, but naturally as a Google Ads advertiser for me, I'm wondering what kind of implications this would have on sort of optimal campaign setups as well, right? Because in the end, what you're not only obviously you're identifying unprofitable campaigns, but it kind of destroys the entire sort of logic of how you would usually set up a campaign. What do I mean by that is, I'm thinking how, you know, let's say for instance fashion, right? You would used to have a campaign for t-shirts, let's say a campaign for trousers and one for jumpers, and they all have different margins, which is why you set different ROAS targets. That is out the window, right? Because you will have some profitable t-shirts versus some profitable. So you would have to kind of regroup campaigns completely and restructure your account. Is that typically something now you would see? Yeah. What do you advise?
Yeah. Essentially, it will, because the brand aspect of it, you can have a brand which have a certain margin, but some t-shirt leads to larger average order sizes, which is more profitable because you only have one-time shipping and so on, and some pants or some shoes you don't make as much on. So essentially, I think you need to go that route either or. Also based on ROAS, it's the same as ROAS, but you just don't have to do that calculation and trying to like figure out what you actually made in profit. But what we have just launched now is something we call Shopping Booster, which is essentially a tool that also enables you to create custom labels based on performance data and first-party data. So this way you can automatically group your products up a little bit like many have heard of the zombies and the heroes and that kind of way. So it's the same thing you can do here, but it's just fully customizable. So you can go in and say, here, I actually want all my profitable products. These should be over 1.5 or let's say 2 in POAS. You can even say, or, because if you add 2 in POAS, everything under 2 in POAS would not be the profitable. But what if a product only hit 1.3, but have super large volume? So it actually still creates a lot of profitable volume for profit after ad spend for the business. Then you can say, or if it has given us more than £500 in total profit after ad spend the last 3 months. So that could be one custom label. Then you could have your unprofitable products, which essentially what happens often is that even if you're running, let's say we take the ROAS, if you are asking Google for 5 in ROAS, you have a product that gives 7, one that gives hits 3, and you have the same spend, Google have given you 5. But the one at 3, you're losing money on. The one at 7, you would like to use more money on. So separating it up and getting your products down in the unprofitable campaign, that would make it possible to actually get Google to give it a new or decrease the bid to hit that target. Because normally we see that 50% of the products are actually unprofitable because there's something that is really, really profitable that is taking that average up. But by removing all the profitable away, now Google cannot do that. And Google's only job is to hit that target you're asking for. So it will then start decreasing the bids. And then maybe you don't have as much volume. You maybe don't have 10 conversions on the products. You only have 5. But now you're actually profitable. And then it will be moved automatically up to the profitable ones.
This is amazing because in the end, that takes away. So what I've seen solutions, people having sort of scripts, for instance, that create custom labels and within a spreadsheet, and this is then added into Merchant Center, and that's how you can group campaigns, like you said, heroes, zombies, etc. I've seen setups like these, but this would sort of just eliminate that and really just do it based on privileges. Yeah. That's the thing about.
So essentially, if you could code, you could do something similar with the scripts. But normally how scripts are used, it's one automation or one strategy where you group up the products in a certain way. But it does not always, just like the ROAS, that you set a threshold of a ROAS of 5. But what if you have those products that doesn't hit 5 but are super profitable because of the volume? It's actually generating a lot of total profit. Those things takes forever. I'm not a developer. I cannot code. I have some super great developers on the team, but I cannot code. So it would take me forever. I had to ask somebody to do it with a script, where this enables you just to do whatever strategy. You can even import, let's say you had size availability. So maybe you don't want to send a lot of people in on that t-shirt that you only have in extra small and extra large. So if you had that in your feed, you can combine that in the rule and exclude products. Or maybe you have a pricing campaign or a promotion campaign. So whenever a product goes to on more than 20% in the discount, then it moves over where you have another bid strategy. So whatever strategy you have, you can actually, you can go in and translate business goals and objectives into something the algorithm can understand and steer the algorithm in a campaign structure based on that. And you set up your rules based on your first party data and performance data. So it gives you so much flexibility, and you can essentially set a strategy up like this in 5 minutes.
So. That's amazing. So you've obviously got tons of experience. You mentioned it at the start, and have been in this for donkey's years, basically now in the e-commerce sphere. 2024 has been a really challenging year for many businesses. Where do you think the trends is going to go? What kind of trends do you see? How does profit metrics and what you are developing as a product fit into this? And how can it help businesses in the coming years?
What we overall have seen is, you know, when there was Corona and everything, the only thing that e-commerce businesses and marketers were concerned about if can we get enough products in the stock to send out, because, you know, all the marketing spaghetti we were stuck at the wall. You know, everything worked. Every single initiative we made in that period worked. Where post-Corona, we have seen inflations, we have seen less demand in the market from buyers. So it has been really, really hard. But we can see that focus have become more around, we need to be profitable. We need to make sure we have a sustainable business. And what we are seeing now is that if we look at, for example, March, we have also a market index. We can see that March is last year versus this year was the exact same revenue. Profit were a little bit up, but what we could see was that there was used 8.4% more ad spend to acquire that revenue, which actually gives you a big minus overall, because it gets more expensive to acquire that sales.
I've seen this across many clients, by the way. I'd be sitting here in line and say that it would not be challenging right now. It's really difficult, especially near and near. Many people are feeling the pinch, I would imagine, from the economy.
And that is the competitive advantage also to have that profit data and then be able to see what products and clicks actually allows us to be in those auctions. Where do we still have that profit? And then, you know, put as much ad spend in as you can to keep that profitability still, but get all that volume, and then maybe go out of some of the auctions where you cannot be in because there is some that are bidding too aggressively and your profit margins on those orders coming out of it doesn't allow it. So that just, it just gives you that flexibility of actually be able to allocate the money where you can be, or you can also be in those auctions where you're losing. If you know you have a really high lifetime value, or you're selling supplements where people are actually coming back. So depending on your strategy, but just being able to pinpoint where you're making a profit and how aggressive you can be in those kind of campaigns or on those certain products, if we're talking shopping, and which one you can't, because if you can eliminate the unprofitable ad spend and then move it to something that is more profitable, that's where you have the competitive advantage. And that is where we are tapping in both with our server-side tracking. So delivering more tracking, if you have, we on average track 17% more. 17% is also, if you're missing 17% on average, that would be campaigns you're closing down that look unprofitable. But having 17% more conversion value, suddenly some of those will become scaling opportunities, because you always see 100% of the ad spend. But if you don't see all of the conversions, you and the algorithm will always make wrong decisions. So it's all of these things we're tapping in, giving better data foundation, giving the transparency, and then now with the shopping booster, giving you the control to actually get the algorithm to do what you want. Because as I see it, Google has the best bidding algorithm in the world, and it's amazing at hitting that target, but it doesn't understand if that target is correct for the business or what it actually means. And that's the job of the marketer now, to translate something like a campaign structure into something that actually benefits and moves towards that goal that the business have.
Fantastic. If a listener has listened through this now and says, I want to give this a crack, how do you get in touch with just through the website, book a free demo? Yeah.
Yeah, I would just go to Profit Metrics and then book a demo and then mention the podcast, and then I will give 50% off the first 3 months, and then we will set you up and get you onboarded. And if you're an end client and you have an agency, or you're an agency, what we also have is we provide a service. If you haven't tried changing from a revenue ROAS to a POAS, we have a service where we don't do any marketing. We're always neutral, but where we help making that transition and taking questions and so on. So we help that process to get the most out of the product, and there's no long-term commitment. So it should be very easy to start and see the value. And what we see is people
being
on the tool.
Amazing. Great stuff. Well, I think that's pretty much all the questions on my side. I would just obviously urge everyone to give this a try, especially if it fits your business goals. As Frederick mentioned, I think many SKUs, lots of is sort of the go-to person for businesses. Or if you have very varying combinations of purchases, this sounds absolutely like the ideal solution to undo the mess that is sort of profit attribution. Thanks so much for coming on. Really appreciate
it. Thank you, Jeremy.
That.
Thank you for the opportunity. Appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. And no doubt we'll speak soon again.
We will.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Google Ads Unleashed. Be sure to subscribe wherever you heard this podcast so you never miss a future episode. If you found value in today's podcast, please share it with others and leave a rating and a review. For more information or to connect with Jeremy, check him out online at www.younganddigital.marketing. Thanks again for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.